running.
We're back.
I think we all get caught up in the music for a minute.
We got some questions, guys.
Sure.
And one of them was about last week's discussion, which I thought was we got into pretty well. And that was about maturing bond ETFs. Because people were talking about is, if you can remember last week, there was a couple in there. Financial advisor was recommending that they go 100% of their portfolio into individual
high yield bonds,
and they had a wonderful portfolio.
100%?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm glad I wasn't here.
And
would have been some.
So we
you'd have been bleeping.
So we suggested that was probably not the route to go.
Right. But we did led to a great discussion about bonds.
Yeah. Right. But we did talk about bond ETFs, maturing bond ETFs, even high yield maturing bond ETFs. But the question that was generated from that was. We have a listener, Steve, had asked about he was all about the maturing bond ETF for the high yield. Said that he had talked to his advisor prior to that and had been advised not to go with those ETFs. And he also wanted to know iShares has a similar product
I think it's important to note that. The Schwab advisor, and I don't mind saying the name because I don't think they did anything wrong here, couldn't give him a good reason.
Right.
Just said, intellectually, I don't like high-yield bond ETFs. And in all fairness to the advisor at Schwab, it took us a long time to get comfortable with it.
Absolutely. These things came out in
2010. And a lot of time and a lot of effort, a lot of research.
Right. Absolutely.
That's why we have a research department.
Right.
Right.
This poor guy giving advice can't be doing his research.
Well...
I'm not blaming. No. Don't get me wrong.
Maybe not. I don't know.
They got research in the background somewhere.
Well, that's
you know.
True.
I mean,
yeah.
But
true.
If they don't have one on this,
well, I'll tell you
your point. That's right. We spent a lot of time.
We did, and what we wanted to see is how they actually matured. What we wanted to see is, you know, it was inception in 2010. They didn't have maturities until a couple of years later. We wanted to see exactly how. The cash flows worked on the backside of these ETFs. And once we saw that, then obviously it made us a little more capable of making a reasonable decision.
People who didn't listen last week, okay?
Right.
These are ETFs in the sense that they may hold 600 or 700 individual bond issues. So they reduce the risk of you having one bond that goes bad.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
They've got diversification.
Right.
Number two is they all mature in a very short period of time around some date.
Yes.
Right.
So that eliminates interest rate risk.
Right.
Because in theory, they're all going to be back to face value. Around that date.
Right, okay. Around the time that they mature.
So
exactly.
One of the reasons why this was so intriguing to us is because what did you do your dissertation on the clay tablet back in the day?
Wow. Writing in cuneiform.
As I was chiseled.
Roy's in on it.
But I want you to know that my dissertation is chiseled in stone.
Right. Well, you had those punch cards. He seriously had those punch cards.
Yeah. Anyhow. I did. Someone did a study on bonds over the Great Depression on regular bonds, and I did one on municipal bonds. And it paid to buy junk bonds, quote,
junk
C+,
meanies,
et cetera, anything below investment grade, if you could buy enough of them. Because even though much more of C++ bonds went bankrupt than A++, the difference in the promised return was so much higher than if you netted out your losses that you came out ahead by buying low-rated.
Right. And, another concept of diversification, the individual bond is such a small portion of the whole group, so you've got a portfolio, and that's where these actually get more attractive. And, Gene, you had mentioned about how these things mature. We have actually, when we looked at the way that these worked.
Sorry. You knew the radio?
Yeah, it got in the way.
Not all of the bonds mature before the date. You can see some of them that'll have 4 or 5 years beyond their maturity, beyond the maturity of the ETF. But and they'll have to be sold at that time. So there is a slight interest rate risk in that regard.
Very small.
Right. And what's even more
generally, they buy governments usually for that.
They do. Anything that matures before the maturing date of the ETF is put into a treasury. So right now, we look at Guggenheim's 2015, so it'll mature the 15th of December or thereabouts in 2015, yielding 3.41% to maturity.
So in theory, you've got a one-year security that's going to yield 3.4%,
and right now it's probably 20-30% in treasuries because you start seeing those maturities, and that's where they plow them back in.
So it's less high yield, high risk than it was 4 years ago when they brought it out.
Right.
But as I understood that one in particular, I believe started out with 20 or 25% of the portfolio that matured longer.
Right.
But that each year they would pick and choose which ones they would sell, and so probably down now to maybe 10%.
It could be. And
your overall risk of not getting your principal back has shrunk significantly.
Right, and these are actively managed to the point that they look a year in advance to see the bonds, the individual bonds that they think will be called. Most all high yields have a call date, and they try to manage it so that many of them either call or mature at that date.
A key point in here was management.
Right.
And that is that these things have not been around that long.
No. Right.
And the ones we're talking to you about have been around the longest, and we could go back.
Yeah.
And take a look at their results over these period of time.
I think there's some pros and cons here we should talk about. First of all, Hensler Financial, Gene Hensler, Dr. Hensler, forever, 28 years, I believe, he's been on radio. Mm-hmm. We have the 10-year rule.
Right.
Any money you need in the next 10 years, you never, ever put in any kind of growth investments.
Right.
So you
got to
look for
risk.
Fixed. Right. And well, up until, what was it, 2010?
Right.
Okay. Up until 2010, your choices were individual bonds, CDs, and mutual funds.
Right.
Okay. Well, we know mutual funds, if you buy a bond fund, we have no idea what the net asset value is going to be when you need to sell it. Okay. These came out. So there's not very often a time in finance where they create something brand new that's revolutionary.
I mean,
they usually put lipstick on that pig. Mm-hmm. This happens to be something unique.
Yeah.
And we watched it for,
four years. So, yeah, we've been watching this thing. It's not,
So you've got the ability of understanding the diversification, so we're less worried about one high-yield bond going out. Because, I mean, most clients can't afford to go buy 300 different bonds.
That's true.
So you've got the issue of that. We know we're going to get most, if not all, of our money back because of the maturity date.
Right.
The con to me is we have no idea what's going to happen to this portfolio when interest rates start going up.
That's true.
Or we have a significant recession.
That is true. The good
Which
part
is why
about
we
that
buy
is,
the short-term
now, these have gone,
we keep them short.
These
that's
have
the point
gone,
we made last week.
These have gone through a recession.
Not since 2010.
The good part is they're liquid enough. They trade more like a stock than a bond. You don't have to go out and bid them out like you would a bond. Bond trading is a headache.
Yes.
Just take our word for that. But these you can trade during the day, intraday, not a problem. And that's the one thing that we'd say, you know, if you start seeing market conditions get so that they wouldn't be conducive to holding a high-yield bond, we would get out of them altogether. But to double back on Steve's point, he asked about iShares. They do have several products, actually, that they call their iBonds. Guggenheim has one that's a corporate. They have the high-yield, but they have a corporate. And then you have iBonds that actually they have some AMT-free muni bond. Portfolio like this. They have a regular corporate, and then they have a corporate X financial. So there are other options out there. But the reason that we talk most about the high yield right now, we've put together some numbers. So our default fixed income purchase is the highest quality at the highest yield we can find. Right now, it's been CDs. It's been that way for several years now. And if you look at a 2015, the highest yielding CD we can find is paying 45 basis points.
0.45%.
Right. You look at their corporates, and the highest one, the corporate I-bond that you can find is 55 basis points, 0.55.
Right. So why take the risk?
Right. And then if you look at the high yield, it's 3.41. So if you put together a portfolio with 75% of your money in a CD in that maturity and 25% in a high yield, instead of getting what you would at 45 basis points, you wind up with 1.19% in yield.
Right.
An increase of 164%.
Overall small allocation.
Right. And that's small, but it's still.
And you have, you can't say no risk because there's no such thing as risk, but a very low risk because we're already up to the maturity coming in in 10 months.
Right.
Yeah, and it really makes more sense on the low.
Well, that's why they have longer maturity ones.
Oh, we know, yes.
They do. And that's why we as Hensler Financial, have made a decision to keep them short-term because to the con of this, we have not really seen what happens to these when they go through a recession.
Right. Yeah. If you just
said your dissertation was done based upon the Depression. So obviously,
worst period of time.
Right. They're not all going to go bankrupt.
But they won't. And that's the thing. Diversification is key.
Right.
Yeah. If you look further out, some of the numbers, I mean, go out to 2018 where you can get a CD that yields 1.3%. You've got the high yield Guggenheim bullet shares, 5.68%. So the difference is about 84%. When you look at a portfolio of 75% of the CD, you can get a total of 2.395 on a 75% CD, 25% for that bullet share.
It's a huge difference.
Yeah, like I say, 84% increase in that one maturity alone.
Yeah.
So,
it's not overweighting it either. I mean, that's 25% of the portfolio.
Right.
So that's something to think about.
Right.
Okay.
Or you could just call us and we'll take care of it for you.
Well, and also, for example, think in these terms, you could use it as your 9th and 10th year.
Right. So you got a long time to let a recession come back.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we'd all be remiss if I didn't, appreciate Steve writing in, sending this email to us at drgene@hensler.com, just commenting further on this. But he also made the point that's important to note here that he said, by the way, if you had a nickel for every time Dr. Gene promised interest rates were going to go higher, he wouldn't have to be writing this email.
It's true.
Well, you know what?
I don't know why
in the heck we take this guy's questions. I'm a little upset about that.
We're going to close down the email now.
No, that is true. I think, let me see.
Oh, yeah. Even the market.
How long?
What happened with the Fed.
I'm serious. How long has it been, guys?
5 years.
Oh, well.
At least five.
Yeah, here's the thing. Market interest rates went to 0 to 0.25 in 2008, December 16th or so.
Yeah, it can't go lower. They haven't.
They haven't. You're right.
That was right.
Yeah. Good call. 7 years.
Good deal. Well, listen, we covered a lot today. As always, don't hesitate to give us a call at 770.
If we didn't answer your question this week, we'll get to it next week.
Yeah, 770-429-9166. Spit that out. 429-9166. Or email us at drgene@hensler.com.
You can tweet us and
Facebook.
Facebook us and all that kind of stuff.
That's right. You've been listening to Money Talks. Tune in next week.
Market will be up.
I agree. Up.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.